Welcome to Chair Chats, an online web series hosted by me, Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the South Carolina Democratic Party. Our goal in this series is to begin to look at political leaders, activists, and people involved in politics in a three-dimensional manner. We will move past the political caricatures to get to know the individual. So now, let's chat. Not many people get to put on their resume that they were mayor by the time of 30. My guess, the mayor of Johnston, South Carolina, is now an older 31, is it? He has taken to politics like a proverbial duck to water. But he started as an audio engineer for the group Outkast. Let's take a minute to chat with my friend, Mayor Terrence Colbert.
All right. Well, thanks, James.
Mr. Mayor. Welcome. Welcome to Chair Chats.
Oh, yeah. This is exciting. This feels like between two ferns.
Okay. Well, listen, now, you were working as an audio engineer for Outkast. Man, tell us about that.
Let's see. Where do you start? I started as an intern with the group Outkast. I worked at Steak On Ya. I was the coffee guy. I was the grunt. I would have got coffee for free, but they seen that I was going away, and so they offered me a job, and that job turned into an engineer getting sick, me being there. They knew I had a degree. I recorded a verse in a record. They said, man, T did pretty good. Let's see what else he could do, and it started from there.
What was your verse?
Which verse was it? It was a lot that came after, but I want to say it was for, like, it was something simple, like for, like, a radio, Greg Street celebrity car show commercial slash rap verse thing, and yeah.
Well, did you get an opportunity to travel with them, or was it just a stationary job? Were you just in the studio?
I was mainly in the studio in Atlanta, yeah. But as I got better, I traveled, and then I started producing. Like, I actually did a record on Big Boy Solo Project, and so with that, I booked up a lot of freaking fire miles.
Andre, Big Boy, how are they?
What do you mean?
How are they just hanging out with him? You get a vision of, you know, rap artists and
yeah. So. Well, I'll say this. Most people, and the reason why I ask, whenever somebody say, how are they, I always feel like that's that trick question. Everybody want to know the inside of the Outkast family. Yeah. Is it beef? Is it this? But no. They're good. I mean, they're great. They're typical Southern guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Big is a diehard family guy. Well, Antoine, he's a diehard family guy. I mean, I know his kids. I know his grandmother. I know his wife. I know everybody. Dre, he's more quiet. Dre reminds me of myself. He's the only child.
Yeah.
He's kind of weird like me, you know, so.
How are you kind of weird?
I left entertainment to go become a mayor in a town with 2,400 people. So that makes me kind
of
weird.
So what was the appeal of, you know, leaving hip-hop, leaving that world, to go to a small town in South Carolina to become mayor?
Boy, that's one of them gotcha questions. But honestly, it was that I was doing great. I mean, life was good. Living in Atlanta, living downtown, that was all fun. It was great. But I knew that I wanted to do something more. I didn't know what, though. I didn't know how, didn't know what. I thought, okay, maybe I go back to school, become a lawyer, and help people that way. Or you start a business and move it to your hometown. And I just couldn't find the how. And one day it kind of dawned on me. I was back home visiting my mom. My mom always do this big cookout. And in my neighborhood, was a city council member,
yeah,
an older guy, and he was like, everybody called me T. He was like, T, if you ever come back here, you should get in politics. I said, no, that ain't for me.
Had you ever thought about politics before?
Not really. I would say it as a joke to my friends. I said, you know, like, hey, I got to keep my name clean. I got to get out of here when all the crazy stuff happens, because one day I'm going to be governor. And, you know, people like, you know, it was just a running joke. But then that kind of planted the seed, and like I said something earlier in the breakfast, the chairs and mayor's breakfast, seeing Steve Benjamin's face on a billboard and then seeing him walking through downtown.
Steve Benjamin, the mayor of Columbia.
Yeah, mayor of Columbia. Seeing him in visiting South Carolina, seeing Kasim Reed, and seeing these guys. These are black men that are running to lead cities that are, you know, major cities in their state. And so it kind of just sparked the interest. And with that interest, I'm not one to shy away from nothing. And so once it sparked the interest and a couple people told me I couldn't do it, I had to do it.
You had to do it.
Yeah.
So what was your campaign like? What did you run on?
Oh, that's the beauty of it. I ran on everything. Not say everything. That make it more broad. I ran on what the people weren't hearing. Like, they didn't have a voice.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at Johnson being 2,471 people, right? 65% African-American. That population, being a majority, not just saying it because the black majority and I'm black, but being the majority is that those people had no voice. They didn't even know how the town was ran.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I ran on was like, hey, I'm going to be a person that will speak for you at the table. Y'all know me. Y'all know my family. You know my grandma. You know my mama. We go to the same church. Y'all know me. So you could come talk to me. Everybody call me T. You see me out there, you see me in your neighborhood, I'm sitting on your front porch.
You're Mayor T.
Yeah, Mayor T. That's it. And it's like, I'm sitting on your front porch with you, and I'm running at that time, running for city council. And everybody was like, man, you get on city council, you should run for mayor. And so my campaign was just strictly about the people. That's all it was, strictly to the people. Nothing, no hype.
So, you know, usually young folks who are running for office, they run into a barrier that youth is a positive in terms of you have the energy to run, mm-hmm. but sometimes your opponents use it as a negative, that you don't have the experience in order to run that operation, to run the city of Johnson.
Yeah.
So tell us, was that an obstacle for you?
It was, because running for mayor, the incumbent, I almost felt like the incumbent, he didn't take me serious at all. Mm. And I served on city council with him. And he knew how great of an asset I was as a councilman. But me running for mayor, he didn't take me serious. He told me at his own mouth, he said, this could probably be the end of your political career.
Wow.
Running for mayor. And I said, man, that's another one of them challenges I got to overcome. So now I'm up for the job. But they used it against me because they were saying that this guy, the strongest parts of his resume, they aren't here. They didn't happen here. He's a celebrity. I felt like they put me in the Obama box, right, in Johnston. And so with all that being said, I had to overcome all the young stuff, all the young stereotypical stuff. I mean, people, they tried to slander my name. They told me that I had, you know, I'd been incarcerated. Never been incarcerated. Said I was a deadbeat dad. I don't have any kids.
Wow.
Like, it was all kind of stuff that was coming out, just, you know, trying to pigeonhole and target the youth and the aspect that I'm young and I'm black. So all those stereotypes came out in the media about me.
Were there any racial dynamics?
What?
In the race? Tell us about that.
Okay. Being from Edgefield County, the home of Strom Thurmond, some people know what that means, some people don't. If you don't, please Google it. The racial dynamic was totally against me. It was that I was the black guy. I was a thug. I was called a thug because I had an entertainment background. A black person doesn't know how to lead a city or lead a town. I had heard that certain people wouldn't work for me if I was elected. And once I became elected, my police chief quit. I had two other officers, they left. So it was a real interesting racial component to it all. So
now you are elected, you are now the mayor. Tell us about how you've been working to transform Johnson.
Here's one. I told everybody I wanted to bridge the gap. And by bridging the gap, I wanted to bridge the gap of the socioeconomic gap, the racial gap, just bridge all gaps in general. And by doing that and me becoming mayor, I've been able to go everywhere. Like, I go to all the churches. It's not just a Sunday morning I go to the black church. I go to all the churches. I speak to all the civic groups, you know. There's a couple groups like Women of Johnston. That's mainly a 60-plus group of older white women. And speaking with them, just for me, it's just been about not shying away from the tough talk.
Exactly.
So just going straight up forward. And by doing it, I've been able to target people and make them look at Johnston in a whole new light.
So tell me, what does it take to be a good mayor?
Oh, man. All right, let me say this. A lot of people tell me I'm a good mayor. And I always ask them why. What did I do? I've only been mayor for, a year? I was city councilman for 2. And they were like, what you do is you bring everybody to the table. And so I guess I would say what makes me a good mayor is fighting for my people, but also understanding where they're coming from. I can't fight on every issue for you, because some issues, it's just a rule, just how it has to be. But I think what makes me good is that I put the interests of my town first, mm-hmm. every day. My council members, the running joke is, Terrence, we can't afford you. So essentially, you pay us to be mayor. And I just fight for my town. I mean, I fought for it to bring jobs to the area. I had the first ever job fair. I've been mayor for about less than 6 months. I pulled in 15 employers, brought them all through our learning center so I could, this is me, I said this earlier, I think in a circle. I don't think A to B, I think in a circle. I said, so this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have a job fair. I'm gonna bring people in, and the people that aren't qualified for these jobs, I'm gonna have it in an area where we could teach them work keys.
Exactly.
So I did a job fair at the Johnston Learning Center, brought in 250 people. Out of that 250, only 50 people had taken the work key certification. So I signed up 200 people that day to take the work key certification. Out of that 250, 70 people got jobs. So that's what makes me good, because I care about the people. Because I realize that you can't say what's wrong with our youth or what's wrong with the streets of our towns and cities across the state until you address home. If mama and daddy ain't working, Junior and Mrs., they gonna run wild because they can. And that's it. That's what I think makes me a good mayor.
And so how do you know that? Is it experience? Was it your life?
I think for me, I was very fortunate. I'm a product of a single-parent household, but I'm a product of a very hard-working mother. I mean, I've seen my mom work 3 shifts, I mean, to the point, I always say, but it's a funny story. When I was in high school, I wanted to get my first car. I learned work ethic from my mom so much that we were working so much, we had to schedule when we both were off for me to go get a car, right? You know? And so, but that's my mom. I love her to death. That's Jackie, right? But I think it's not my story, and it's not my personal story, but it's the story of my friends. It's the story of my cousins. It's the story of where my office is in Johnston. I could walk to the elementary school.
Yeah.
And me and my chief, we walk there often. And we go and see it. And we look at this school and we say 83% of these kids get free and reduced lunch.
Wow.
So that tells me right there, if I can help fix home, I can fix school. Right? And so I look at all the pieces and how it all tied together. And I feel a lot of mayors, not to throw nothing at them, they're great at talking points. I don't have talking points. I talk to the points of the people. I talk to personal interests. That's a
good statement.
But it's not a talking point. But so I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. And so it sounds like you're doing so much in the city of Johnston. Do you have any time for a personal life?
Man, let me tell you. Oh, man. I tell people all the time, you know, one day when I can afford a good therapist, we're gonna work it all out. But not really. Like, no.
So you're one of the most eligible bachelors in the state of South Carolina. Is that correct? The mayor of Johnston. So I need to put together a calendar, maybe a fundraising calendar. Most eligible bachelors in Mr. January. The mayor of Johnston.
January the 7th, that's my birthday. So, yeah, write that down. But, no, I really don't. I mean, I'll tell you, I told people all the time, entertainment killed all my relationships, right? I thought being a mayor would make it easier. But then when you got to be on all the time, the typical young lady does not want to be on all the time. They don't want to have to be with me and we sitting down trying to eat. I got to shake hands and talk about garbage cans and limb and leaf pickup. They don't want to hear that. So yeah.
Well, maybe you need to find, do we have any fellow the women mayors? And you know, then you guys can trade, swap stories about trash pickups and potholes and...
No, that'll be too much. Then I wouldn't want to do it.
Listen, you're one of the young leaders in the state. What advice do you give or do you have for young men and women like you who grew up in a single parent household who are looking to try to figure out what their path is in life? What's your advice to them?
This is what I do. I read this book a long time ago, probably about 10 years ago, right? The Alchemist. And they say you have to find your personal legend. And so to me, my personal legend has always been talking to people and helping. I never knew that would turn into politics. I never knew that was the chutzpah it takes to be a politician. But for me, that worked for me. Now to speak to those others, I say you got to find that thing that you love doing. Like, that you truly love doing. I mean, well, it's not about the money. It's not about the notoriety. It's not about none of that. Because look, I did it. I did the entertainment route. I could have just stayed over there, got paid a whole lot more money, and I could have been quasi-famous. But it wasn't it. It wasn't enough. And so I think to the young people out there, find your place and space to get involved. And get involved where you have a voice. Because if you don't have a voice, there's no point of being involved. But get involved in a place where you have a voice. And with that voice, just share your ideas. Because then you're going to meet people along the way. Because I say this. I remember, Jamie, meeting you when I was on city council. And I was like, hey, man, I'm trying to do this, this, and this. You were like, man, just keep doing it. Keep doing it. And I'm like, all right, I don't think that's enough. But then at that time, I was just too eager. But then I realized what you were saying, just keep doing it. And now you look, that's not even 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we're sitting here now.
Exactly right.
And
exactly
so right. That's my advice to them.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Mayor, you're doing great things. The buzz about you all across the state of South Carolina is very, very high. And it's because people are very proud of you and proud of what you've accomplished. So the big question is, what's next? Are we going to hear, or are we going to see a Governor Colbreth or Senator Colbreth? what is it next in terms of, you're going to fix all the potholes in Johnson. I'm assured of it.
Yeah.
So what happens once that's done?
Maybe I go after Joe Riley's record.
40 years?
There you go. Maybe I go after Joe's record.
Well, listen, Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And to all of you, thank you. You're always welcome at Chair Chats. On the next Chair Chats, I hear being a grandma is better than being a mom. True or false?
Well, now, Jeremy, it's true, and you're not going to tell anybody I said that, are you?